Motorcycles and Misfits, the podcast here at the Recycle Garage. We've got a good group here tonight. Well, let me say that every time. We've got a good group every time. Mm-hmm. It's me, Liza, and we got Doug.
Yep.
Chaz.
Hey.
Lucas.
Hey.
Donut.
Hey.
Zoe.
Hey.
And Moti.
Hello.
All right, so is everyone tired today? Well, you guys weren't working hard.
It's just because it's getting darker soon.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
unfortunately.
So.
Totally.
And it's dark outside right now.
Yeah.
It's like,
yep. That's
$2.
No, but that's welcome, I think. That's
right. Unless your ringtone is a motorcycle going down the road, that's $2.
Exactly. So, got some updates. Especially like Moti, you haven't been here in here a while, so you get to hear all these updates.
As always, I look forward to your updates.
Did you notice both Davey and Jimmy's bikes are gone?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Yes. That should be $1.
Excuse me.
Jimmy's bike is finished. Zoe rode it around for a week to make sure no more parts fell off.
Pretty fun. A little scary.
That was good. She was riding it one day. And suddenly more power came out of nowhere.
Yeah, the second cylinder unstuck.
Right, so something unstuck, and like, whoa!
Nice.
Yes, so he took that home. And then Davey's bike, we took it to Jim at Jim Cycles. And I said, just make it run. Which Davey had gotten it running enough that a good mechanic could diagnose it. And it was just further fine-tuning. He did the valves. He did carburetor rebuild kits because we just kept cleaning it. But he just make it all new.
That's actually what John said. Like, I think, I mean, that would seem to be,
right.
He's like, he's going to need new carbs. Like, that's what it's going to come down to.
Well, just the rebuild kits.
Yeah, essentially.
Just a carb sink. And it's still running a little rough. It's hard to find a sweet spot for the idle.
Uh-huh.
But I think, like Jimmy's bike, it just needs to be ridden. Mm-hmm. Make sure nothing falls off.
Just fine-tuning as you go.
And did that cylinder stay firing?
Yeah. It continued to keep
going. I don't know why it wouldn't, but yeah.
Jimmy said he's been riding every day.
Sweet.
Down his driveway? Doesn't count. You can still fall in your driveway.
Yep.
I never told you. Okay, so I did the one and only time I did an internet dating thing.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, I know. First lesson learned, if they don't have a profile pic.
Mm-mm. It's like the same thing on Craigslist. No picture, no deal. No dice.
And so I had said in my ad, like, I'm into biking and wrenching and stuff like that. So this chick answers, and I'm just like, you know, I'm like, I don't go out to dinner with anyone. Okay, whatever. She shows up, and I don't want to be too mean, but let's just say she was on the large side. Not necessarily tall, but, like, tree trunk leg type.
Tangles,
stouts.
Tangle.
Wow. I was like, all
tangles.
Right.
That is brilliant. I gotta remember that.
Yeah. And I realized it was going wrong when, because she said that she rode. Cool. So she showed up, and first thing I'm like, oh, so what do you ride? And she's, well,
a mobility scooter.
It was like a Honda Shadow or some cruiser. She goes, well, but I actually haven't ridden in a long time because I bought it and I had it dropped off at my house. I had taken the test and everything, and I wanted to take it out, so I pushed it out of my garage into the driveway and didn't put the kickstand down, and it fell over me onto my leg, and then it crushed my leg, and I was trapped, and I had to call.
Were you dating Karen?
No.
I had to call
people for help, and I broke my leg. Now my leg is better, and I think I want to get out riding again, so I'm looking for somebody who will teach me. Oh, also, I bought all these accessories, and I'm wondering if you could come over to my house and put them all on for me.
Nice. It's like the computer shirt. I will not fit you.
Yeah.
This is like
exactly. It's like, that's not what I was looking for.
Not interested in being a source of cheap.
We went out, had dinner, and then see ya, thanks. But it's like, I mean, I specified how I'm looking for somebody in a motorcycle and wrenching, not somebody that
needs
me to teach them how to ride and build everything for them. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Anywho, so Davey and Jeremy's bike, but Davey's bike is going to come back because he wants to redo all the electrical like we've done with our bikes, Douglas and I, make it all disappear, which I said, that's great, but why don't you take it home and ride it for a couple months and then make it a winter project, bring it back and dig into it. So he's psyched. And he's paying me off with car washes and bike washes. Nice. Though he showed up yesterday to start, and it rained.
That's pretty sad.
But he managed to ride his bike around in the rain.
It's, yeah.
Have fun.
You get the thumb squeegee gloves.
Oh, I love that. Do you guys know about this? They have gloves with a squeegee on thumb. Yeah. So,
wow. I was riding to work yesterday morning on the DRZ, and it was so foggy coming down Graham Hill. So I switched on my brights and slowed down to 35 miles an hour. And I'm like trying to see the yellow line in front of me and everything. And then I wiped my windshield or my visor. And it was totally clear.
Yeah.
So it would have been great to have a thumb squeegee.
It's, and the thing is, like, when you don't know it's there and then you use it, you're like, oh my god! Like, I thought of everything. You just watch it run down the front of your visor. Yeah.
I use that Rain-X stuff. You know what that is?
How does that go? Yeah. Does that work well?
You know what? You would think it wouldn't work for fog, but it actually really does. It's just like, you gotta wait 5 minutes for the, like, all the fog droplets to accumulate, and then they'll just like start running off.
If you go fast, if you're going fast enough, I'd say over 50 or so, you just turn your head each way and it blows it up.
You are the windshield.
As long as it's beating right, if you use the Rain-X stuff.
But like with the Rain-X stuff and the fog-free wipes on the inside of my visor, I don't have any problems. And I put it on my GoPro case too.
That's smart.
Yeah, it works just as well there. Because like, you know, after 5 minutes, I would be like rubbing the camera to get the water off and everything, and you just end up smearing it, looking good crap. So definitely a good investment.
I know a couple ago when Rich and his gang and I went to the motorcycle show at San Mateo, and we were coming back over 17 and it started to hail. It was like torrential downpour hail. This is a whole new ball game. Like, oh, like now cars, like we're getting in the slow lane and going very slow, and cars are shooting by us and spraying us. And if you close your face shield, it would fog up immediately. Mm-hmm. Blind. Oh, and if you open it up, we're getting hit with hail and rain coming in.
I've been there.
And it was like, ah, oh, this sucks. And I just remember I put my face shield down and I was taking shallow breaths. And anytime a car passed and sprayed me, I'd hold my breath as long as I could. That's how we got home.
You needed the clip-on fan.
I know. The Moto Bandito personal clip-on fan. Uh-huh. We'll be reviewing that one soon. So, some new updates. This is good for podcasts. Raise your hand if you've gotten a new bike recently.
Should we say I? Nobody can see my first hands. By the way.
I. What qualifies as recently?
In last week.
Okay. No.
When? How long has it been since you got a new bike?
I just bought my last CBR like a couple months ago.
Yeah, no. Last week. So I'll start. I got an XL70, which I think is the coolest thing ever. It's just a perfectly proportionate little bike that I'm going to turn into a tracker, which... So you didn't know Moti, since I'm catching you up. Over there, I have some big blocks of foam and a cool, cool tool I made today.
Okay.
It is a hot wire foam cutter. And I cut up foam and I am carving out and I'm going to make a fiberglass flat tracker seat in a miniature version to fit that.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's something new. I've never done fiberglass. I figure... it's time we need to do it so we'd be able to make our own side covers and seats.
How does that even go? Like, how do you fiberglass? Like, do you make a foam mold?
Well, I take blocks of foam, and then it's a whole process of cutting it, shaping it, carving it, and then sanding it, and you basically make what is going to look like the finished product.
Yeah.
And then I've got the fiberglass and the resin and the mat, and you just put it over, and...
Sorry to interrupt you. I just got a hit for the CM.
Nice. Okay.
So let's go to you. What changes are happening with you and your bikes?
Wait, what's the question?
Oh, wait a minute. besides the XL70, I also became the proud of a second Trail 70. That cuts to you, Douglas. What have you gotten?
We just traded, like, as we talked in last week, talked about it, the XL175.
Yes, come on in. Is it pizza delivery?
It's the pizza guy. Yeah.
Pizza's here! All right, let's take a break for pizza time.
Nice. Minute. I'll do
it. Everybody else has got to shut up, though.
Here you go, sir. That's for
you. Are you playing Who's Chewing now?
Guess Who's Chewing.
That's wonderful. All right, there should be chicken on half.
You left half.
You got the half with chicken, Lucas.
I suppose. I'm not paying terribly good attention.
Wow. I told you, it was on the left side.
We should have.
Oh, shit, it came on the right side. It totally did.
Excuse me, this is on the left side.
It did. Look, it came on the right side. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then there's Parmesan bread bites. That was the. Oh, shit, I can't say no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh, well. Interesting. Are we still rolling? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Alright.
Do you want any food?
No, I've
got to
go home and eat.
Who's chewing now? Good. Such a rolling dog, you want to continue?
Alright, so yeah, we had talked about trading last week my Trail 70 for your XL175, and we did it. But it still needs a lot of work. All the lights are dim or don't work, and it's still pissing oil. And it doesn't want to go into neutral when it's running.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Really. Huh. Even when the idle's down, it just doesn't want to do it. I mean, you can get it to do it, but you got to play with it for a while. And you don't want to be doing that at a stoplight.
Right. That's usually an idle adjustment, I think.
Right.
So, you have the ouch. Lucas hit his head. Good job. Yay. That's a big achievement for short guys. You should be happy.
Don't make it worse than it already is.
And you're selling a bike?
We're selling a 79 CM400T.
That is, I think, very generous of you to do that, to help raise money for Megan's bike.
Yeah. I think I'll be able to make a little bit of money too, as well as get my original investment money back on it.
Cool. Who else? Who got a new bike today?
Got a little F3 CBR, thanks to Liza. Found a pretty good deal.
So I'm excited about that.
It's a cool bike, dude.
Thanks, man.
It is. It is a cool bike. Everything's there, which is great.
Yeah.
I can't believe that it sat for years and runs.
Honda.
For the most part.
It's an indestructible bike.
Yeah.
What were you saying about the... It had no oils and it was smoking.
Yeah.
Yes, that.
Oh, so here's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
He tells me to get on his bike and I start to go and it dies as soon as I let the clutch out. Dies. And I'm like, the fucking thing won't go into neutral. And I'm hitting down. Only to realize... later on that it's actually reverse shift, so one up, five down.
Yeah.
But I checked the oil because I thought that was the problem. Pulled the dipstick out and it was like smoke in there and nothing on the dipstick whatsoever.
So we added some oil.
Prudent.
Prudent, yeah.
Luckily, it's a Honda.
Those things will run forever. It's like, you know,
oh well.
Hell yeah.
Like, the oil bike's not on yet.
I've abused the crap out of my F3, and that thing's still going strong, so it's a pretty good bike to have.
Yeah.
And what are your plans for it?
I'm hoping a Street Fighter the bike, yeah.
Will you crash it?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
you gotta earn
good Street point. Fighter. Good idea.
You'll have Street Fighter.
Then Street Fighter, because it's beautiful the way it is. This is much my opinion. It's beautiful the way it is.
Really?
Well,
I mean,
I want to make it look like Zoe's. I mean, she's got the Street Fighter going on, so.
Well, my bike has no fairings whatsoever. It's... I need some.
Yeah, you can see that ugly airbox. I'm sorry, no. My bike has a radiator, too. I just think they're hideous. Like, I get it.
Cool thing is you can actually get some decent aftermarket fairings for that if you want to, but... Yeah, that radiator sticks out like sore thumb.
It does, and that's the problem with the speed, like the speed and the street triple. Actually,
are you talking about your new bike now?
No. Oh yes, I got a speed triple. I want to die. No, I got. Well, it's not in my possession yet, but it's in San Francisco at a friend's house because John has to go pick it up because it needs electrical work. But it's a CBR F4i.
This is the one you guys were talking about. You was gonna try to get.
Yeah. And it is gotten. It just needs to be brought to my house and probably just needs a new wiring harness, which whatever.
So wait, does your CBR also have a vampire sticker on it like his does?
Oh God, I hope not. I'm probably gonna Google on that stuff. Like razor blade Google. No, I'll leave it on there. Whatever.
I'll just be really slow. Sticker to my bike.
No, I'd put one on my bike. If my ascot wasn't, yeah. But anyways, yeah, that's my bike.
We're going to put one on Lucas's bike, see if he notices.
Just put it somewhere aesthetically pleasing, please.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, you got to, because then that's bad for on you.
Vampire stickers are aesthetically pleasing anyway.
Some are better than others.
If you just slide it crooked on my tank, I'd be like, the fuck
you guys should get some vinyl ones. That way it can just be, like, the vampire's logo and not, like, an actual... You see what I'm saying? Like, if you get a vinyl one... And,
we
like,
take donations.
Okay, like, I know people with a vinyl
color. I would totally put it on my swing arm or, like, on the bottom part of my fairing, like, where... Because I got, like, those race replica fairings. They have all the sponsors and shit on it. Like, if you put it next to that, it would look bright as rain.
Totally.
Exactly.
I sure did.
We could put a Moto Bandito sticker on there.
I would be down for that.
Yeah, totally.
Liven it up a bit.
Define electrical problems.
It's just acting funny, and I think the original thought might have been, like, it was reg-rec, but obviously it's not, and John's just gonna go through it. I actually have not seen the bike yet, but it does exist. It's been ridden. It's owned by one of the other San Francisco vampires, so.
Cool.
Yeah, I just need to get it, and I'm really excited about it. I think I'm in the process now of trying to get my fairings to my ascot 3D printed, and that way I can put fairings back on there and then sell that, and...
Wait.
Yeah, 3D printed fairings.
3D printed fairings?
Yes.
Can you explain that?
I can. So, you're aware of 3D printing technology. My ascot has really pretty small, I'd say they're probably by like a foot by a few inches deep fairings, and I cracked one when I crashed and lost the other one, and it just really affects the look of the bike, which wasn't great to begin with, so I'm using, I'm gonna have my friend mold the fairing, either that or try and scan it some way,
yeah,
and have a 3D printer print it out.
That is so cool.
If you don't have one, how can you scan it?
Well, I know people with one. Mm-hmm. I work in design, so it's like everybody has a 3D printer, it seems like.
No, don't you have to have an original one to scan?
I'm gonna use Jerry Studley's, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, like, I'm cool. Pretty sure he'd let me do that, and...
On top of that...
We need a CM400 side cover.
Right? Like,
there's a makerspace downtown here in Santa Cruz, just down the street, actually, that has an industrial-scale 3D printer.
That is really awesome.
Steel-quality work.
You could save so much money by 3D printing your fairings.
You really could. But the problem is it has to be kind of small, because you'd need a massive 3D printer to print.
That's true.
Like, side covers are...
But, or just, like, even, like, over the front tire, the fender, like, the plastic fenders, like, on Ducatis and stuff, like, the front, I mean, the vice president of the company I used to work for has 3D printed fairings for his Ducati, like, multiple times.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, so we'll see how that goes.
So, let's see. What did we work on today? Douglas, you helped John, a.k.a. Tuxedo.
Yeah, Tux. He had some electrical issues with his FC6. One of the couplers was smoking and melting, and so I told him just to cut it completely out and use butt splice.
I said butt.
Connectors, to stop the resistance. He had too much resistance going on. It was...
I didn't really follow up, but did that fix everything?
It stopped smoking.
Well, and he also had weird wire
sticking out. I told him to leave it. Just leave it the way it was, if it was still working with that wire on there.
Right, but I think that because it was in the same circuit, and it was, I think, maybe exposed and touching the frame there.
I told them, you know, obviously to tape it.
No, but I'm saying I think that might have been what caused
it. It very well could have been, yeah. That was whatever was in the connector was the weakest part of the connection.
Right.
Which is why it was melting. That very well could be it was rubbing on the frame or something. But after he did that, it seemed to be working just fine.
And he got towed again today.
Yeah.
Telling you, man, if you live within a few blocks of here, have you seen this yet, Chez?
No.
We're using the Trail 70s as tow trucks. When somebody breaks down, just ride over there, put a strap on the front of their bike, and tow them back.
It actually pulls it?
Yeah, it pulls it really good.
Our scooter's really torquey, so.
And we just take bike lanes all the way. Ning, ning, ning. We got to the rotary, and I know I can't slow down because it'll come up, but everyone has to merge on the rotary, and I just like.
Oh, we just went on the sidewalk.
Oh, I just held my line.
On the pedestrian sidewalk.
Into the rotary. Yeah. And then he took a different line than I, so I'm like, each day behind me.
You gotta get a picture of that for the page. A little bike.
Or like a video.
I know, we've done it quite a few times now, towing people over.
I think all three times it was John. It was Tux.
Evelyn
was the first one, okay.
Yeah.
I know
Davey's bike
Tux has been at least twice.
Davey's bike got towed. Yeah, it's the scene, but hey.
You should offer it as a service to motorcyclists in the area.
I want to get button-down garage shirt.
That's what I'm saying. Like Liza on there. Like.
CT70 towing service.
Yeah.
You can make some real bang, I swear.
We do have another sponsor.
Yeah, CT70 towing service. What else did we work on today? Douglas, what'd you work on today?
Well, I helped John with that for a bit, and then we prepared the CM400 for sale, just clean and last minute oil patches and grease ridding and the hell.
Oh, that's right. You used all the cleaner.
Yeah. Well, I went and bought some, but.
No, but I'm saying you went through a lot.
Yeah, we went through a whole bottle. Between two bikes, went through a whole, probably a 20-ounce bottle of degreaser.
And now it's looking perfect. Except for missing side
cover. How much are you trying to sell it for?
How much you want to buy it for?
I have no use for that bike. I think John's trying to bring that two-stroke up to San Francisco today. Like, between that and my new bike, like, it's going to be awesome.
So you're going to sell your, whatchamacallit, Ascot?
I think so. I wanted to keep it, but John and several other people have assured me, like, they're like, you think you're going to ride it, and then you get a bike with better braking that handles better and is faster, and you never do.
Are you listening, Donut?
So, I just figure, like, I should just do it now, as soon as I get the fairing.
I had him convinced. He agreed to sell his Ninja 250 until he spoke to John today, a.k.a. Tuxedo, who said, oh, no, I'm keeping mine. And he went, I'm keeping mine, too.
I didn't agree to anything. This is Liza saying you're selling it and me agreeing by shaking my shoulders.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of that.
But, I mean, you're not going to want to ride it. There's no, unless you're going to, and I wouldn't because that bike's really nice, but unless you're going to turn that into, like, a track bike, which is not worth it when your bike's not kind of thrashed, sell it. You won't ride it.
I just love it through traffic. The way I can just wiggle through these cars.
But the more you ride your 600, the more that you're going to be able to wiggle through cars. It's, you know what I mean? It's just, it's seat time. Like, you're going to get to a point where you can't imagine doing it on a 250 because you can do it quicker and awesomer and better.
The 250 is a good...
I see selling Liza's point. Okay.
The 250 is a really good, like, you know, canyon carver. And, you know, I kind of started on a middleweight. I really wish I had, you know, somewhere in there an Ninja 250 because I would have learned, you know, my skills would have peaked a lot quicker because I've been, you know, able to throw it around a lot more. It's a lot
lighter. Hey, you're not helping.
No, but here, no, if you want a 250, get one, but don't have the same bike in a smaller, get like a DR 250.
Exactly.
Or like something.
Yeah, get one.
If you had a dirt bike and a motard and a touring bike, then that would be a different bike that will do things they don't do.
Yeah.
There's nothing that bike can do that the CBR can't do. No.
I don't have two bikes that do
that's
anything.
Pretty true.
I got four or five bikes now.
Yeah.
it's easier to ride, but if you can handle the 600, then I guess the Ninja ain't really a big deal.
Yeah, and definitely, like, lower, you know, like people diss on lower power, like, power is the only issue. 250s kick ass for a lot of stuff.
If you're,
just get a different one, like.
If you're a good rider on a 250, you could scrape anybody.
Like, Gary Janey, not to, like, maybe rest, exactly, but, like, that, about, I mean, yeah, that guy would scrub people on leader bikes, and he tore around on a 250, like, that was, he was known for it, like.
There's a long way to go on the 250,
it's the rider,
is what I'm saying. But, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Let's see, who else worked on bikes today? Yeah, some peach on my mouth. What up?
Guess who's showing?
Professional pollinator. Let's see, we got... Well, Justin showed up and had trouble starting his bike.
What happened there?
That makes it sound so sad.
Oh, wait. How long did you and him spend picking that bike
over? About 15 minutes.
Anyone want to take a guess at what was wrong with it without knowing anything about the situation?
That cock was like... He already told me, but you know what I would have guessed. Gassed. You know what I would have guessed? Like...
I guess.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, we had put it here, and then we had started it a few times throughout the day, just to show off his new bike, you know. And,
that's the first thing you tell everyone.
All of a sudden, it just ran out of gas.
That's the first thing you check, like. Seriously.
Sometimes it doesn't. I've seen Liza do the same thing. She was, like, sitting there, like, cranking on it, and the little gas IV, I'm, like, tapped it, and she's like, oh.
I guess it happens.
Okay.
Probably happens to everyone once.
It does. It's, like, running out of gas. Like,
and, Daniel came by today?
Yes.
Right? And
really?
Who's the other guy?
No, not that Daniel.
Oh.
No, I was not Magilla.
Right. This is a Daniel who came by a couple months ago with... I forget who he came with, but he has a little V-Star 250.
V-Star 250.
That was, it's like 2010. Didn't need it.
Wait a minute. Is this Daniel who was my former roommate, who was also had a V-Star 250?
It has to be.
Yeah. What is he
Does
like?
Does he need a haircut?
I think the last time I saw him, he was getting a little bit shaggy, so that might be him.
Well, didn't we take any photos today? You took a photo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I took a photo.
All right, let's find out here.
That's pretty cool. I remember, like, he bought that thing, and he's like, yo, my bike is making some weird noises, and I looked at it, and his chain is sagging, like, octogenarian's tits, right?
Okay, so let's talk about this. So he shows up on this bike. I remember him vaguely from a few months ago. He came with somebody, just, I forget, he was just hanging out. They went for a ride, and then I heard that... They went up near UC and pulled off on the side of the road, and he stacked. Just pulled over on the side in the dirt and fell over.
Oh, well, okay.
And what it did is it crimped his clutch cable.
So it hangs down.
So he finally got a new clutch cable and came by today to fix that. It's a pretty clean bike. It was only 2010. So he beckons me over, and he says, and the brakes are making a weird noise. I'm wondering if you can check it out. And I said, well, I don't really need to check it out to know that it is... You need new brake pads.
Mm-hmm.
But here, take the caliper off and we'll check. And he pulls them out. There's nothing
left. Metal on metal.
I love that my brakes are making
yeah,
weird noises.
Yeah, that
must be only
yours.
Like so
yeah.
many things that could be.
Even yours
like,
done it. We're not that bad.
Lucas is his roommate.
Let me look at that
the
guy.
UCSC
they were metal on metal. Yeah, I think... Dude, he grew his hair out, man.
Yes.
Wow, he's got really long hair now. That's
so, I said, well, now you need brakes. Call me, I'll ride and see if you can get some. Meanwhile, I go, well, sometimes you hear sounds and it might be the chain, and I kick it with my foot, and the chain is so loose. I go around to the back, and on his bike, it's a square tube frame, and on the back there's metal plates where the chain adjuster comes through. With a threaded rod, and you can adjust it. And the right side, there's no metal plate, no nuts on the bolt. It's nothing. There's nothing holding the axle in place.
This is opposite side, opposite chain side, right?
Right. So the wheel is kind of cattywampus.
I love that word.
And
fantastic word.
The chain is just all slack. And I said, well, here's a problem.
You know what's funny too is we were talking about it later on after that, after you fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he brought it into a mechanic guy on the west side, and the mechanic guy told him to take off the left chain guard because it was hitting.
What?
Not replace the cover with the adjuster on it.
Mechanic on the west side, step hitting. Forward and defend yourself.
I might have a few ideas who it is, and I want to
so because the chain adjuster was not there, it was all fucked up, and that's why the chain was hitting the side cover.
I don't know,
because
he said he talked to another mechanic that told him he's probably going to need a new chain.
What?
I said, well, probably. Where is he? Yeah, you've probably destroyed the chain by now. But if you just get a new chain, you probably also have destroyed your sprockets. So, like, how long ago did this happen? He's like, I don't know, like, a few months ago, I did this trip to San Diego. I think, how do you take a 250 to San Diego?
That guy rides that thing everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. So I just came in here, pulled out the scrap metal drawer, found a big hock of aluminum, cut it to size, drilled it out, said, here you go. He put it on, now he has a plate to adjust his chain. Good. Easy piece.
Who told him to remove that? That's so ghetto.
Yeah. To remove it?
I don't know. Yeah. It was just a little plastic cover.
Oh, I don't know.
That was around the chain.
And then he went to Whale Ride. He's like, do you think it'll be okay to ride, you know, a few miles to Whale Ride to get the new brake pads with them in this condition? I said, it's been probably half a year since you've been riding like that.
You adapted.
What's another day? Go for it. Why not?
Use the rear brake.
I know. So, and to me, that's kind of, I think, typical of younger riders, poorer riders, who just can't afford to maintain or send it into a shop. And these bikes just, sadly, just these little things that can just be so horribly wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that. I mean, like, I've worked on his bike before. Like, I probably was the first person to ever work with... Yeah.
I see.
I will admit, I destroyed the pin holding on his nut, so lost it. That's my fault. So I'm sorry about that. Because I forgot to remove it.
Whoa! The truth comes out.
I destroyed that, but, like, I did some work on his bike and everything, and, like, he's like, dude, this thing makes a weird noise when I shift into second gear. You want to ride it? And I'm like, no, I'll just look at it. And same deal, like, I looked at his chain, and it was practically hitting the ground. And I was like, dude, like, when was the last time you adjusted it? And he's like, you have to adjust it? I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, man.
So, I'd say props to that bike for just holding up for so long with, like, zero maintenance, man. That thing is a fucking tank.
Thank you, Japan.
Thank you, Japan.
So, yeah, so we got his chain, his axle adjusted. He got the new clutch cable on, and he got new brake pads on today. Yay.
Cool.
One bike saved for now. Who else? Mike with the CB550?
Mike with the CB550, yeah.
Came by. What did he work on?
He put a new throttle cable and a return cable.
I heard him ask you first outside. He said, I heard him ask, do I have to take the tank off
to get to replace the cable?
What was your response?
Yes.
Then he came in to me and he goes, do I really have to take the tank off to get to the cable? And I turned to him and I said, even if you didn't, I'm going to make you do it. You need to know how.
I did help him with that.
I heard him that, where, how do you do this? He had no idea.
No.
But that's the kind of thing, I mean, I don't know about all you, but I remember when I was like afraid to take something off because you don't know what you're getting.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's
suddenly gas is going everywhere.
You have angles, you know, spotlight to try and see up there because you don't want to take something off.
Right,
it's
or
like,
you're afraid to turn too hard or pull too hard or tighten too much, and that's.
Oh, I remember thinking that I would take a cylinder head off and there would be spring-loaded jack-in-the-box things. I have no idea, you know?
Always worried something's going to fall.
I remember the first time I pulled off my tank, I found out the petcock didn't actually close the hard way. So I was like, well, my concerns were, well-founded.
No, what? When I took apart the CB400, the valves, they spranged out, and I didn't
know. Oh my gosh, I think I remember that.
Yeah. It was like, oh, you're looking
for these tiny little half circle or these crescent moon shaped pieces on the ground, which matches the color of the ground. And you're like, and my life's come to this.
Right here.
So he successfully got that off.
Yeah, and he adjusted it right, and
he was working with one cable.
Right, one cable, no return.
Yeah, I rode that bike with the one cable, no return.
That's not really hard.
And after he, well, Megan helped him lube the cables and everything. Right. So after all that, he had me check it, and he had a perfect amount of play. It snapped right back and everything. Sweet. So he did a really good job routing the cables and everything.
Good.
No kinks. Everything worked fine.
What's next on that bike?
He wants to put an airbox back on it because he wants to ride in the rain.
Huh?
But sure. I don't know if he knows that entails rejetting and all that. Plus, finding an airbox for a 554.
Oh, all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of.
Oh, that's not the super sport. This yeah. way.
Oh, that was that was.
I was thinking Winslow's of the Winslow's super sport. Is hard to pipe. Found pipe sport.
Exactly. No, airbox is easy. Which reminded me, Davey said also on his GS550s, like, man, I want to take off the airbox and put pods. You gotta go, Chaz?
Yeah.
All right, thanks for
coming. Thanks for coming by.
Yep. See you, man.
Yep, take care, man. Come by.
Good seeing you, guys.
Bye. Yeah, come back soon. And I will call you if we get a good donated bike for you.
Yeah, definitely. I'll come by and I'll tinker around on it. They said I'm trying to get rid of it.
Anything? You'll take anything?
Yeah, anything that rides two wheels, let's do it. Yeah.
What's the passenger? CM400.
What?
It's kind of comfortable for the passenger, right? You're going to take Bailey with you.
Well, okay. Well, yeah, actually.
You can give Bailey this one, then. Huh? You can give Bailey this one, then, right?
This one? No, I'm trying to sell this one. That's what we're saying. If I end up selling my CB700, then I'm going to end up getting something else to ride. I don't know. As long as it rides and it rides. Awesome. That's all I really care.
Cool.
Sweet. So, yeah.
Well, I'll keep my ears up there. See ya.
Take it easy.
Don't let it slam.
Hey, thank you for the pizza.
Yeah. So, Lucas, you had an interesting question posed.
Yeah, well, I guess it's more of a debate starter. You know, there's been a lot of talk, you know, on the internet, people if I know, you know.
Let me see that Honda book I gave you.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to look something up.
Here you go. But anyway, I've been thinking a lot about what the best year for sport bikes was, like, just generally. And, you know, for me, that factors in how much would it cost to buy one or sell one, what kind of technology do they have, what's the best value, you know. And so I thought that would be an interesting topic. People could debate, you know, what they thought the best year was.
And what do you think the best year is?
Well, if I want to go first, I would say the best year would be about 2007. And that's for a number of reasons, mostly because I feel that its strongest point is it's a relatively modern era, so the bikes have, I would say, somewhere between 80 and 90% of the same technology you'd find in, you know, like a 2013, 2014 bike. You know, not like the super fancy rich boy shit, like electronically adjustable suspension, standard quick shifters, stuff like that. But, you know, you got slipper clutches, you've got, you know, a whole bunch of other, you know, I'd say just the entire evolution, except for like the last 5% is pretty much what it is. And if you're factoring in price, you know, if I wanted to buy an 07 CBR 600RR, it would be, you know, like a third of the price of a new bike, but with still 90% of the tech. So I feel like that would be one of the best years. Not to mention, I think that the 05 through 07 bikes look the best. Not really sold on the looks of modern bikes. They kind of like try too hard to look futuristic. Can't decide if they want to be naked or not.
Exactly.
They have the little full front fairings and they have the tiny little side ones.
And the pipes now are getting boxy.
And weird looking, too.
And weird looking.
They're very, for emissions,
they're
I think.
Very geometric. And I think it's a bad move.
Yeah. Like, have you seen the new Z1000? It's got, like, that weird... Yeah. It
and
looks
all
like
about the new Z1000.
A frayed rope.
Yeah, what it looks like it to does. Me.
It's ugly as fuck. So, I would definitely say 07 would be my year. I know a lot of people might disagree with me, and for a number of good reasons. But if I was going to pick up a used sport bike, that's definitely where it'd be at. And I have an 06... So, kind of regretting not spending enough money to get the 07.
Well, I think that bike does you pretty well. I've ridden with you.
I want the slipper clutch, dude. Every time I shift down to first gear, I got an RPM match. you know, like a few RPMs, a few thousand RPMs higher, just because if you don't, you'll get that rear wheel spin, so yeah. Slipper clutch would be great.
I would say, not that I'm one to ever chime in on a subject, but for me, I mean, sport bikes in the 80s is where I really, that was my wheelhouse for it. It was blowing up, it was happening. In the 82, 83, 84, when sport bikes really happened. But if I'm telling somebody now to buy a bike, I'm not going to tell them to buy an 80s sport bike if they want a performance bike. I think I go back to the early 90s is where I think a transformation happened. Still in the 80s, I think they were still heavy bikes. They were getting that engine. I mean, basically, if you look at, we went from the street bike to like a super sport that still looked like a street bike, but with some performance mods. And then you get, the engines were getting better, but it's still kind of, it looked like a street bike. And then they made a sport bike, but it's still a heavy sport bike. And even though, I'm looking at this book here, like the CBR Hurricane came in like 87, 88. The CBRs that we're all talking about now coming in like 89, 90. To me, I'm thinking around 92 is when they really became better. To me, there seemed to be a leap there.
90 kids have it going on.
Gen X, dude.
I feel like before then, it was like technology, like engine technology and actual parts technology, like building technology were kind of... there's a disparity between them. And it was, I think it was right around the 90s they began to kind of catch up with each other. Bikes were built better and went faster. And that's also when fuel injection really, like, they dialed that. I mean, that started, that was like an 80s
invention. Speed Wars.
Yeah. I mean, and it was like, and that's when things got really, really good and, I mean, fast, obviously, and efficient.
You're saying what's the best year for sport bike? What year is it right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be...
That's the point, is they constantly keep changing and upgrading. But to me, I think that there's been less of a gap in technology and performance from those early 90s to now than there was in the 70s and the 80s. Totally.
True.
There's a great leap forward into the 90s, for sure.
Well, here's another thing I think we should consider is the social and the historical context, or more or less the historiography of sport bikes. One of the reasons I don't like 08 and on sport bikes is because that's when the recession hit, and there's some really weird socioeconomic effect about how once that happened, sport bikes became less sporty. You know, people weren't ready to go ahead and speedily down public roads or whatever, because now they gotta worry about, you know, affording bikes, they gotta worry about, you know...
Well, there's no disposable income. The recession hits, like, people aren't looking for sporty, they're looking just to get to work and back, utilitarian.
And that's why they, like, really dialed back the amount of,
I'd say... I wonder if that, like, gave rise to the whole Street Fighter 70s bikes trends that, like,
every single...
Everybody...
I'm pretty convinced that, you know, Liza says that the best bikes around 92, like, you know, we're experiencing at that time kind of a revolution coming out of the post-Reagan era. And maybe during that time, people sort of found a new...
Excuse me, have you been writing a thesis
lately? I'm a college student, guy.
Can you keep that shit out of here? Go ahead.
I feel like, you know, maybe during like good economic times, sport bikes really take off. The market's going. You know, people are allowed to be fast and wild and free, and so they're going to spend their money on crazy fast, crazy ridiculous bikes. You know,
on excess.
Blame it exactly. On the man. Because again, we mentioned the speed wars that ended in the 90s when they all agreed to stop trumping each other, making faster and faster bikes. And then we've been getting the government coming in, and now look what's happening with these emissions and these
types
and blah.
That, I guess I should mention that too. Another good thing about like 07 era sport bikes is that they don't have as much crap. Not, they still have a lot, but as compared to like a 92 bike, that like a 92 would be free as, you know, anything. No computer to control anything, no emissions control anything, or if there is something, you can just take it out.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they try and hardwire that shit so that you have absolutely no options. So I kind of prefer a little bit more liberating experience.
Totally.
You know, if you're a rider and you want to customize your ride however you want, you know, if you have like some vice on your nuts saying you have to operate under the jurisdiction of the California government, well, that's not particularly fun.
To go back to what you were saying about, I mean, it makes sense. When you look at any form of culture, be it like music, art, like it all reflects, you know, it's like, exactly. Like, it's like motorcycles are as much the zeitgeist for like a statement of our times as anything else is. Exactly. And it would make sense the design would reflect what people are buying.
Right.
Or people feel comfortable about.
Motorcycles are a part of our culture just as much as any art form.
They are. I mean, they're people that, like, I know people that design them. It's like they're artists. Exactly. It's like, it's not like, you know, engineers sitting down and drawing these things.
Even engineers, though, I mean, they have to operate under, you know, a business principle. If the CEO thinks that it's not going to make money, then they're not going to do it.
Absolutely.
But I mean, if you...
What's going on?
I'm terribly... insightful conversation.
No, it is. It's just like, I'm like sitting there going, we gotta stop letting these college students in.
But no, it's true. Since the recession, a lot of the bike companies have been trying to go for the lower market.
Right.
They've been creating newer versions of
like
their
stuff.
Like
that new Honda that's totally bitching, and actually the parts are not cheap. No. Oh. I'm gonna have to text John, I think.
Dude, 250s have taken off.
It's a 750. Off. It's
just
a 750.
Think about that.
Oh, you mean the
he actually replies to
yeah, it. The triple.
It's an 8 something.
Oh, it's an 8. Yeah, it's
a triple. Are you talking about the Yamaha?
Yes.
Yeah,
the FC09?
I just said Honda.
That
is a fucking badass bike.
That is an awesome bike.
Yes, it is. And the parts aren't crappy.
Exactly.
But it's like,
and it's 8 grand standard. It's a fucking rad hooligan bike with a triple. With, like, shitload of power, shitload of torque.
You can take it a lot of places.
Exactly, it'll go
anywhere. So we brought it back around. We're talking about motorcycles.
We're coming full circle.
Don't be surprised if you walk in there and there might be one in here.
Are you serious?
I'm just saying I'm not known for having good discipline.
For impulsive.
And I can be an impulsive person.
But I like that about
2 weeks
you.
Ago, I did decide to make a pit stop at a dealership. Just stop at a table. Fortunately, they were closed because the last time I stopped at a dealership just to take a look, I came home with a Versus. I never even heard of a Versus. I'm like, oh, I like this color. It's green.
Green, yeah. Like the color of money.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that bike, though. I mean, it's the ultimate. I mean, a lot of people find that when you try and please too many people at once, you end up pleasing nobody. But this is the ultimate everyman's bike. I feel like it could please pretty much everybody. If you're a new rider and you want something standard that's fun to ride, you can have it. If you're an experienced rider.
Doesn't have the aggressive position of a sport.
It is an everything bike, but you know what it doesn't do?
What?
Put the fire in my loin.
I don't know about you, dude.
That makes me like it even more.
It's everything, but you ride Rat or you ride a Trip, and there's a little like...
Bumblebee.
Dude,
there's a
serious...
You know, there's a thing you feel like, ooh... Right?
Triple.
You can always
does
pimp
that too.
It.
Rat, is fear that this might be my last ride, but for the triple, for sure.
That's the Versus. It does everything, except it doesn't get me excited.
It is kind of more of
a utility bike, in my uneducated opinion.
It's like the workhorse.
It is great, but I like bikes that I think I have a chance of dying on.
It's the Rat again.
You like danger.
Just not necessarily. I'm not out of control. I just like to know that it could happen.
It could happen
the
on anything.
Versus swaddles you and says,
dies on the mini bike. Yeah, well, she went how she lived.
Just drive fast and wait for a left turn. Yeah. You'll be satisfied on any bike.
So I wanted to take a minute and set up for get to know. We're running it late today, but Jazz, who is here, who we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, he's been out and about with his lady.
Well, I got to talk to him earlier and do a little get to know.
Damn, Doug.
He started off telling me that he didn't have a up the butt bike. And I said, no, honey, everybody has a price. Everybody. So you'll hear now what Chaz had to say about that.
Hey, we're here with Chaz for his get to know. How you doing, Chaz?
Great. How are you?
Good. So you've been coming here on and off for a while now. How long has it been?
A little over a year, because I got my bike about a year and a half ago, and I came about 2 months after I got that one.
How did you find out about us?
The
another owner of another Nighthawk, same model as mine, just different color.
Brooke.
I saw his bike one day, and I actually just ran up and started a conversation with him since I had the same bike, and he recommended me coming down here. It's just a lot of fun, good community, just getting to build bikes, learning different things. He said it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, your bikes are almost identical, except his doesn't have duct tape on the seat.
Yeah, his is definitely a lot nicer than mine.
And then he sold it for, how much did it go for?
Yeah, I think he sold it for $400. Yeah, and it was a great condition.
Me, dude.
Oh, man.
It was a good condition Nighthawk.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to know you. How long have you been riding?
I've been riding street bikes, well, since I got this one about a year and a half ago, but I started riding dirt bikes when I was about 13 years old out in the desert out in Nevada. So I've been on two wheels for a while, but two wheels on the road for a little over a year and a half. A
lot of people come here starting with the dirt bikes. I'm jealous because I wasn't allowed a dirt bike. Well, I had a little mini Trail 70, but, you know.
Yeah.
Where are you from? You from Nevada?
No, actually, I was born in Southern California, down in Orange County, but basically from Fresno. I grew up most of my childhood there, and then the other half in Vegas. So.
Yeah, sorry about the text coming in. I think it's Moti checking in with us. So this is the only street bike you've owned?
Yes, this is the only one.
What year is it?
This is an 85 Honda Nighthawk CB700.
And you ride it faster than it should be able to go.
Yeah.
Yes, Douglas agrees.
Definitely. Yeah, that last run proved that to me.
I know, and I feel bad because I thought, like, man, he's riding the piss out of that bike on our night ride. And I thought, but his lights suck. I'm going to get it right on his tail to give him more light.
I know, that just freaked me out. You right up on behind me, blinding me with the mirrors. I had to face him up so I didn't get blinded. But yeah,
I was only trying to help.
I know. It's all right. I found a way around it.
So, what's the furthest you've ridden?
Furthest I rode was actually from here in Santa Cruz all the way out to Las Vegas. Actually, the far end of Vegas. So, it's a little over 400 miles, I think.
And I have to say, I remember when you said you were going on this trip on that bike. I thought, there's no way he's going to make it there and back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just a little intel. So, I bought this bike for $300. Didn't know if it ran. It was, the back tire was dry rotted. Horrible bike. It really shouldn't have even been ridden up to San Francisco from here. But I took the chance and drove it all the way out to Las Vegas, and it turned out to be one hell of a ride. It was a lot of fun. And the other reason why I was kind of worrisome, I rode out in the middle of August, which gets up to 120, 125 degrees.
Oh, that's right.
Which isn't good on dry rotted old motorcycle tires you're unsure of. So it was definitely an interesting trip.
Yeah, Nevada killed my tires.
It'll do that real quick. It definitely wears out tread quick.
So you haven't really had to do that much. I mean, like, you've been, like, tweaking it, tuning the carbs.
No, yeah, I messed with the carbs. I replaced both tires at this point and the front forks.
The first thing you did, though, do you remember?
The first thing I did here, was that the forks?
No,
or no, I changed...
You fabricated.
Oh, yeah, I fabricated the front fairing.
I love that, because you were missing that plexiglass fairing, which was driving me crazy. And so
yeah,
you took
some
sheet metal here, that, and shaped it, and drilled it all out, painted it black. You can't even tell.
Yeah, and put some rubber tubing on the outside of the metal. It looks literally like an OEM stock part.
It works perfect. So, do you have any rides that you'd like to do in the future? What's, like, is there a dream ride?
My goal?
Yeah.
Honestly, I want to do the 50cc. I really want to. I want to end up getting...
Really?
I want to get, like, that's why I want to get a Goldwing eventually. I want to get a large touring motorcycle, something that I can comfortably sit on and make it from coast to coast in those 50 hours and be part of the Iron Butt Association.
Like me?
Yes, exactly.
The 50cc is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember reading on the forum there, this, because some people do a diary of their trip and post on there, you can read. And his method was, he'd just keep riding until he was tired. He'd pull over to a rest stop and take a disco nap on top of a picnic table.
Mm-hmm.
Set his clock for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Just nod out 15 minutes, get back up, and then go again. And he did that the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I guess so.
Yeah, that's
sense.
What I had to do on my trip out to Vegas, and it worked. Just nap right on a bench, 10, 15 minutes, perfectly fine.
Luckily, I didn't have to do that.
So you've never crashed, never...
No, never wrecked a street bike. Plenty of dirt bikes wrecks, but that's just fun.
No broken bones?
No, no broken bones on my bike. Definitely, of course, I've had my close calls, just like any other rider. You know, idiots merging, things like that. People flying past you, not paying attention. But I've been pretty fortunate with my riding. I haven't had any close calls that sent me off any roads, hasn't put me in any real danger.
Now, you have a four-wheeled hobby. Mm-hmm. Tell us what it is.
Oh, I actually longboard as much as possible on my spare time. I've been trying to get into downhill speedboarding, which is like 40 mile an hour down tech corners.
I've seen your videos.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's great because you literally, like, even though you have no brakes, you have control. And you're just one with the element. You're just going downhill and just flowing. It's great.
And do you wear gloves when you do that?
Yeah, I wear slide gloves. They've got it's like a cutting board material, like two little pucks on your hands.
That's how you do it.
So when you get real low, you can actually slide on your hands and stabilize yourselves around corners.
That's just crazy. So here's a question I ask people. You may or may not have an answer. Do you have a favorite tool in the shop?
A favorite tool in the shop? I love that sandblaster. It's just fun.
Yeah, the B-Blaster box. Yeah,
yep, exactly.
It is pretty cool. A lot of people here still don't even know it's back there, but when you need it,
oh yeah,
it is so cool. All right, so we're going to wrap this up with the final question. Which is, what is your up the butt bike?
It's a tough call because, man, I really love grungy bikes, but if I had a choice of, like,
you had to pay the ultimate price.
The ultimate bike, the ultimate cost I never thought I'd be able to get, but I could give my dignity for if I got for free.
That's exactly it.
Would probably be something like an old 66 Indian, something classic, something nice, something rare.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. I've got a model somewhere of one, but here, you talking about you want a grungy bike? When you get an old bike like that, it requires so much maintenance and knowing how to fiddle and diddle stuff just to keep it running.
I imagine, yeah, definitely.
Well, cool. Thank you very much, Chaz.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Okay, we're back. So, turns out Chaz does have a price. I just had to explain to him, I said, look, you have a currency you've never used. That currency, I am like your
choice. What a horrible way of looking at
you
it.
You should explain your new framing you used for the question.
A lot of people, I don't think we're getting it, like when Leif was like, ooh, great.
Yeah, great. I mean, you're always going to have those.
Like, I said, here's the thing, I don't think I've been clear.
Is it, do I give you a bike?
We will arrange for you to be anally raped in front of an audience.
Let's not use that.
Just anal, consensual,
anally
anal intercourse. Because it has to be consensual.
So with Chaz, I started with, you're going to be anally raped by an ex-convict in front of a large group.
I think he's just like, lost about 12 listeners.
He said,
all 12.
No, there's nothing. And I said, all right, let's dial it down. You will be lovingly raped by a gay man while he caresses you and says, I love you.
Are we changing his psyche here? Or is there, like, much of a...
And he says, I saw the wheels turning with... Okay, I think I got one.
That made all the difference, apparently.
I wonder if he was consensual. And he's like, oh, I guess I'm consensual.
He likes the sensitive gay man, apparently.
That's horrible. I'm sorry, Chaz. Please come back. We miss you.
I think that's it. Anybody have any last parting words they'd like to share?
No.
Blank stares all around. Okay, so I want to remind everyone, please visit our website. Zoe is updating it.
Relatively. All
and
the time.
You can find that at motorcyclesandmisfits.com.
Woo!
You can contact us through that site. You can also contact us at recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com. And for one final thing, I want to give a shout out to Dan in Cedar City. Dan contacted us on the Facebook page, and he said how much he enjoys...
I think it's Chris.
I think he said how much he enjoys. Take a look. I'm pretty sure it's Dan. How much he enjoys our podcast. He's from Cedar City, Utah, which if y'all didn't know, that's where I was born.
It's Chris. Chris in Cedar City.
Sorry, Chris in Cedar City. Sorry, Chris.
I love you, Chris. We'll make it up to you, Chris.
Chris in Cedar City.
If you're listening.
We'll appreciate that message. So I wanted to share with him that because I'm from Cedar City, and that's where my grandparents lived growing up. So when I was a kid and finally talked to my parents into letting me buy a mini bike, it was the rule that I had to live at grandma's house. So 1 week a year, I got to ride my little Trail 70 in Cedar City, Utah, and I would head like out of town and go into like the desert and just hit these dirt roads and just be going wherever I could. And I remember this one time I was going out this road. I think it was out for Chris. I think it was out past the rodeo. You take that road out there and just imagine like scrub brushes and jackrabbits and just humming along on this big dirt road. And I started seeing some bones, like animal bones, like just on the side of the road. And I kept going. I started seeing more and more. And I finally came to a hillside that was white with animal bones. Yes. Never found out what it was. Sasquatch. So somebody speculated to me, and this is just rumor. It was either a place where everyone just went, because there were dogs, there were cows, there was deer, there was everything out there. Either it's like the town dumping site for animals and pets, livestock and pets, but somebody said to me that they thought back in the 60s when they used to do the nuclear bomb testing in Nevada, not too far away, that a lot of livestock died.
Sense.
And that this might have been a dump for that livestock. I don't know. But I have a lot of fond memories of Cedar City. That, and I remember one time cruising along, like, I was like, I'd come home to eat, and then I'd get back on my mini bike and ride. I'm talking even when I was like a teenager, about as big as I am now.
Riding around.
I'd take it on jumps, like, had so much fun. Remember one time I was just putting along, and this cop pulled me over in this, like, unmarked Chevy Nova. Big guy got out. He looked kind of like a boss hoss kind of guy, you know? He gets out, and then he's the sheriff in town. And he's like, you're not supposed to be riding that thing on the street. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I won't do it. And he was giving me guff. And then I mentioned that I was staying with my grandpa, attorney Orville Isom, who was the only attorney in town. And he said, well, you just get on home then. Not because he would sue him, but because he was the only attorney and he helped people. He did work for people who couldn't afford to pay and would pay with cherry pies. You know, he was a great guy in town and everybody loved my grandpa. So anyway, just want to shout out to Chris in Cedar City. I have a lot of fond memories there. So, I want to thank everyone for listening and everyone for coming. I'm out now, and we got Douglas.
Yeah.
Lucas.
What?
Donut.
Howdy.
Boaty.
Bye, guys.
And Zoe.
Hey.
And we're out.
Cool.